live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
I can't hear you, Brandon. I'll call back.
Let's try this, see if this works. JB, can you hear me?
I hear you now, man. What's going on?
I'm switching mics, so.
Okay.
Switching mic.
So it's a hardware issue, not a software issue.
No. Well, I don't know. I had the mic working properly a few minutes ago, so I don't know what the deal was with it. But we're going off of that. As long as I'm sounding clear, I'm going through the computer mic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm coming crystal clear, man. It's good to be back on the show, Crossroads Sports. You know what I'm saying? I know the last couple times out, man, we had to do video, which is, I'm cool with that too, but we don't necessarily get the caller interaction, man, so... Hopefully we have a whole bunch of calls, man, Brandon. It's been a day already, man. I could give you a whole big download, but why bother? You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to talk. You know what I'm saying? I know we're going to be football heavy tonight. So, you know, and I got a couple little basketball nuggets too, man, or whatever. But I know we're going to be football heavy tonight, man. So where you want to start?
Absolutely. Let's dive right into the NFL. We'll talk NFL. We're 8 days away. We've got Tanner coming on a bit. Pick'em is back. I can't wait.
Right.
The foolishness that ensues every year with Pick'em. So we've got those.
Three
foolish men of us. Yeah, exactly. By the way, I will say, John, I did get an email today, Crossroads email, that asked to do a magazine feature on Crossroads Sports.
Oh, man.
So.
Isn't he picking up?
More to come on that. Absolutely. Shout out Mike Kelly watching. Thanks for chiming in, Mike. Well, obviously, we're on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you name it. We're on it right now. Instagram, yeah, exactly. So the call-in number is 929-477-3331 if you want to call into the show. We've got our guest Tanner coming on here at about 7:40. So, but John, let's go NFL. They had cuts. They made NFL cuts here locally. Indianapolis Colts. We'll start with them first. They made their cuts. Ballard. They cut the 5th, 6th, and 7th round picks from this past year's draft. Two of them were cornerbacks, a position that they did not improve on, and they needed drastic help on. And then Ballard comes out today and he says, "Quote." You either believe in something or you don't. We trust what we believe. If it gets me fired, so be it. I don't know about this guy. I know.
He always gives like little golden little nuggets or whatever. Like, you know, so how you necessarily react to that? So, like, we know he's not a terrible general manager. Like, he beat around the bush too many years, Brandon, and didn't pick a quarterback. And now you got a quarterback. But still, the temperature of the room is they like what we see, but it's kind of like what you like what you see with Kevin Durant too, don't you? But you never get a full meal deal. You never get the full meal value. I'm not saying Anthony Richards is Kevin Durant, but, you know, you can see what he's capable of. Either through the pass, you know what I'm saying? But he's got to get the accuracy got to get better. Don't worry about the, you know what I'm saying? Don't worry about the legs and can he stay 100%, man? You know, can the accuracy better? But, like, you know. Folks like Ballard, he does know what he knows what he's doing, and he's very, you know what I'm saying, but, and he built a strong defense. He's built, you know what I'm saying, I think he built a strong offensive line, you know what I'm saying. We know this. He's overpaid, but he paid those guys like we had. So here's the thing, bro. He paid those guys like we had a Patrick Mahomes already at quarterback. You know what I'm saying? I'm always a fan. Everybody get your money, right? You know what I'm saying? You always pay the linemen because that's the, you know what I'm saying, of your team. They the pushers and movers and pushers of your team, right? But the point is, like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, we always expecting him to come with these magical fifth round, turning the fourth round guy into something or whatever, man. It really is like, you know what I'm saying? Okay, that's what it was. It was Bean. Oh, okay, that's who it was. Oh, it was the seventh rounder. Okay, that's who it was. And I know we had high hopes for Bean, you know what I'm saying, coming out of, me and you come a preseason, you know what I'm saying, like, you know what I'm saying, trying to stand out in the game, not necessarily coming out of Kansas, man. Don't too many quarterbacks come out of Kansas and instantly rip it, right?
Right.
But, you know what I'm saying, he looked like he could hang out there for a little bit, man. So, and in a position, right, that, you know, the coach was kind of questionable on. Quarterback, it is what it is, man. I'm just being honest with you. Another position they questionable on is cornerback, right, in their secondary. So they cut another guy, I do believe, was a corner. The kid from Marshall, I don't have his name right for him. It doesn't really matter. He got cut, right?
Right.
But, no, you thought he addressed some of those needs, and he really didn't. You really just kind of like running it back with what you already have. So he knows, he thinks he knows. I mean, he knows best because, like, again, he's you know, but he, sometimes he might just kind of outsmart himself on this one. What'd you say, Brandon?
I said, does he though? Does he really know best? I question that a little bit.
Well, Brett, he's already kind of made the classic mistake. So like two seasons ago when he didn't address quarterback and you was like patching up with Carson Wentz, you was patching up. It is what it is, man. You was patching up with Phillip Rivers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So and didn't necessarily have a plan after, you know what I'm saying? So you can only make the excuse that you don't have your Andrew Luck. I get it, man. Like it does hurt when you lose a franchise level player. It does. Charles Barkley left the Philadelphia 76ers. They was hurting until Al Iverson got there. You know what I'm saying? Garnett was hurting. I mean, Garnett left the Minnesota Timberwolves. Shoot, they had they rebounded yet? You know what I'm saying? From that, you know what I mean? Maybe so with Anthony Edwards. But, like, look at the gap. But, you know what I'm saying? You have to be smart with your draft. Have to be just like an NFL, NBA is comparable. You have to be smart with your draft. And if you know you have a better need at quarterback, you kind of got to get your name in that quarterback, whatever, conversation, whether it be first round, second round, you know what I'm saying? So, and I know they necessarily have a second round, first round pick because of the trade or whatever, but, you know, they kind of failed that. So, like, Brandon, to answer your question, like, dude, the defense, he can always, like, this Latu, that kid, he's going to pan out. Could he pay in the 1 year? If he doesn't resign after this 4 year, I think he's still going to work out. Somebody's going to pay him because they like what he does. He didn't splash, like, you know what I'm saying, like how they wanted it. Like, you know what I'm saying? He didn't splash like, you know what I'm saying, he's an automatic, you know what I'm saying, 12-sack, 14-sack, 15-sack kind of guy for a season. But his quick play's not terrible. You know what I'm saying? And then the other, I know the name escapes me right now, the other kid they transferred, anchors middle. So, like, man, he's got his, you know what I'm saying, name on a lot of the parts of the team. And, like, he can say, hey, man, this guy was a Pro Bowl for us or whatever when I was coaching. But, like, dude, it comes down to winning.
Right.
And right now, if he was graded by, you know what I'm saying, his record as a general manager, he deserved to be fired. So he has a lot of, I guess, man, for whatever these cuts he's made. So think about it from this standpoint, Brandon, I give the microphone back. So, like, cutting rookies shouldn't really hurt anybody's feelings, really, really in the big-term long run. But if you're saying, like, the best team that you have out there is what the team that you – defensively – right, because we still don't know who's, you know what I'm saying, playing on outside Julian Blackman just yet, right, in that secondary. But if you're saying this is what we're gonna run back again, then of course, man, he's betting his job on this right now. They got to get to 11 wins, don't they not? They got to get to 11 wins. 10 wins is not gonna do it this year. 9 wins definitely ain't gonna do it.
Well,
I
predicted them to do 10-7 this year. So if that's the case, then I don't know if they can make it. You know,
right.
My question to you, John, is looking ahead, week one, Houston Texans, Colts are 2.5-point underdogs right now, over-unders 49. They haven't won a opening game since the Reagan administration. All right, maybe not that far. But 2013 season, it was against the Raiders when Terrell Pryor was the quarterback. And Vic Ballard was the Colts running back. That's how long it's been since they've won a home opener, season opener, home opener at all. So I keep going back and forth. I think everybody, the easy money for everybody is to take the Texans here at -2.5. You saw what they did last year in both games against Indianapolis, game in week 18 in the playoffs. But I don't know, John. Something tells me this Colts team, I kind of like them week one. I do like them week one to beat Houston. I think they got a great shot for it.
Oh, wow. You're going the other way. I thought you had Texas, you had a slam dunk on them.
No. Okay. I just there's something about it. I think you got to shit or get off the pot, and I think this is the year you got to do it, even though you didn't see the team running back, you know?
Right. I think he believes in the team. He's, you know what I'm saying, solid in what they have out there. Again, man, you know what I'm saying, the guys they cut didn't necessarily play in the national championship game. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? If they weren't necessarily impact players, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I can probably dig up some kind of bio on them if you told me about them. I'm sure they're probably all Mac or whatever, or all whatever, you know what I'm saying, Pac-12, whatever playing. But, you know, so, you know, you never also got to check, you know what I'm saying? He's all, not necessarily that he's been one to delve into it, but, like, man, you got to check the waiver wire. Who's getting cut from these other teams? You know what I'm saying? As well, so. You know, I don't necessarily think I know a lot of kind of like
both guys that they got were picked up. Both safeties
already
were already picked up. Yeah.
So he saying that. I mean, that's interesting because you know people keep taping, you know, on other, just, you know, say, I guess he just wanted a little bit more mature locker room.
100%.
I mean, that kind of goes into it. That probably goes into it too.
Yeah, I believe that 100% for them. Steelers.
Hey, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm trying to get an man. Did they name a starter yet?
They did today. Mike Tomlin has named Russell Wilson the starter.
What?
Word is it might be a short leash.
What? You said Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
I don't know. So he's named Russell. So Justin Fields is not starting.
Fields is not starting. He may finish, but he ain't starting.
Okay.
Broncos country,
well, Mason,
let's ride.
Mason Rudolph ain't right. Walking through that.
No.
Hey, Pittsburgh.
Okay. No, he's in Tennessee, man. And, no, they came out today.
What's some of your thoughts about them naming Russ, man? I kind of got to be, I mean, level of concern.
I was concerned how he obviously got injured in training camp. Came out, didn't play week one, played week two in the preseason. He was 8 of 11, so you can say it's efficient, but 60-something yards total. He looked good in one drive in the third preseason game. Drove it down the field, 72 yards, and Cordell Patterson scored the touchdown. They took him out there. That was Mike Tomlin's mind set up because it was Fields and Kyle Allen the rest of the way. Here's my thought. Who gives you right now the best opportunity to win? Right now, I'm going to say you got to go veteran with Russell Wilson right now. I'm not saying Justin Fields ain't the guy, but Russell Wilson, I mean, he's no slouch, right? I mean, come on now. This guy's still a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Has he lost fastball? Probably, but –
Pittsburgh issue last year was they couldn't get over scoring 17 points. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have a quarterback that could lead and push it down the field. I don't think that's definitely not either Russ or Justin Fields. Fields' issue is that he holds the ball too long. It's been an issue since he left Georgia to transfer.
A lot of people are, you know, obviously, listen, for Russell Wilson in 2022, they went 4-11. He threw for 3,500 yards. The thing that people remember the most was the 84 rating and 16 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and you couldn't get the ball down the field in Denver, right? And that was the year with the coach, and they got rid of him, and then they ended up having an interim coach until they got Sean Payton in there. Listen, last year, Sean Payton, they went 7-8. He threw for 3,000 yards. John, he threw 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. He had a 98 quarterback rating. That's still better than what the hell was in that locker room in Pittsburgh last 2 years.
Right. Him and Sean Payton.
So if he can bring that to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, him and Sean Payton just wasn't on the same page.
Absolutely. You know? But if he can bring that to Pittsburgh for 1 year for a $2 million deal, let's try it. Let's see what happens.
I knew he was going to say that, yeah.
Nick Cross did not get it. And no, Steelers are not going 5-11. My God. You know who Mike Tomlin is? Scott, come on now. It's 9-8, baby, or 10-7. It's right above that 500 line every year.
I thought that was Reggie said that.
No, that's Scott. Scott's saying it. Nick Cross did not get released. He was still rolling for the and Bob Allard talked great about him today.
Hey man, we gotta talk about that North Division, man. I thought Detroit was gonna moonwalk it. I don't think so now. After watching the Bears, man. I don't
know. You need a little
apology? I'm not gonna give no apology, but like now things are a whole lot more interesting, man, because
ready to bear down?
You gotta take some wins away from Detroit, you gotta take some wins away from Green Bay. And we might have a little situation where the title for the, you know what I'm saying, North Division is, you know, I don't know if they can get I think they can get two teams. I don't think they can get three teams in the playoffs, not this year. But it's going to be, the kids are obviously.
For the year.
Obviously, Caleb Williams. Well, the Colts play the Bears, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, Caleb Williams, we're going to see some rookie, you know what I'm saying, mistakes, man. Just like Tom Brady said, man, they kind of throw quarterbacks out there now. And it's kind of like feast or famine sometimes. But you can see he's kind of capable. But, like, man, I had him in the ballpark of, like, 5-6 wins, man. We might have to improve that by 4 wins.
Oh, yeah. I said Bears 9 wins, if not 10. You were not a believer in that when we first started talking about during offseason.
No, man, I had to see it on paper. Man, well, it's because, obviously, man, they fixed some of their offensive line problems that they had, you know what I'm saying, over the year. We know Eberflus is a defensive-minded guy. They've got, you know what I'm saying, they've drafted, you know what I'm saying, defensively over the years, you know what I'm saying. That's what they use their picks on outside of this year when they got Caleb Williams. The Bears, again, man, I can't, like, man, everybody wants to tab him as Andrew Luck ascension, man, and that'd be real cool, man, from the Chicago Bears standpoint. He's got to get past his rookie season. They got him off the line.
They're trash. Don't get sold on the preseason.
Man, he's not going to work. Hey, man. Detroit's still better. I mean, that makes him feel, Detroit Lions are better.
They better hope they are. They can't take a step back this year.
Nah, this is not the year. Hey, man, I shift gears on it, man. It's not the year for Detroit, but like, I get it, man. You know, so everybody thinks San Francisco is going to dead, and nobody believes in Dallas. Hell, they don't even believe their own quarterback. Hell, they played the wide receiver first. That's crazy. You know what I'm saying? But, like, nah, man, Detroit going to have to get it this year, man. Otherwise, don't you think Dan Campbell ain't getting asked to come somewhere else?
Nah, man, he's gritty. He's Detroit through and through.
You think so?
Absolutely.
I don't know, Brandon. Brandon, I think he likes the cameras, brother. I'm being for real. We shall see what you shall see. But, like, you know what I'm saying, the NFC, not necessarily wide open, but they should be considered the favorite. If not, they got to win. They got to get home field. I can't see them beating San Francisco in San Francisco. San Francisco plays unbelievably at home. You know what I'm saying? And this is Brock Purdy's year to get paid. Well, like, next year's his year to get paid, I believe, because he's off his rookie contract. So he's going to try to blow it up. They're trying to get back to the Super Bowl, Brandon. You know that. I'm not saying Detroit ain't either, but in order to get, you know what I'm saying, leverage on, you know what I'm saying, they got to worry about their division. And then, you know what I'm saying, outside of division, Detroit, they better try to moonwalk that because that, I think that division is going to be tough. I do.
Yeah. Yeah, CeeDee Lamb, 4 years, $136 million extension with the Cowboys. Like you said, they didn't go quarterback. They went CD, but I think you got more value. Oh, man. I might have to take back this.
Hold on, Brandon. Hey, man. They're not going to
pay. Is it more value? You can't pay Dak 50-something mil. You can't. I'm sorry.
I can't. I would not. I told you. I had a rich dude. I would not pay that dude $65 million. So they're going to probably let him walk. Unless they get to the Super Bowl. That's a big if. That's a Cowboy fan. That's a big if. That is a big if. That'd be the only way he gets $65-70 million if they get to the Super Bowl. But no, you can't. That's not gonna happen. I mean, it's good for CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I think he got like, what, $36 million guaranteed or $38 million guaranteed, something crazy. He's the highest paid non-quarterback for right now until they have to play Brock Purdy next year. And who knows what he's going to ask for. A two-time, I guess he lost, but a two-time quarterback, you know what I'm saying, in the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying, try to get there a third time. So, it's not all gloom and doom in Dallas. It's just kind of quirky. I thought Dak Prescott would get signed first before the wideout. But you know what I'm saying. Obviously, Jerry Jones knows a little bit more about it than I did.
Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 313. Jonathan Birdsong, Brandon Reif, bringing another show. John, we got Pick'em here in a little bit with Tanner Penrod. We can still talk some NFL. I do want to do a little mini shift of gears real quick. I want to talk, you know, we hit a lot of quick hitters with entertainment, with world of professional wrestling, whatnot as well. And we can come back to the NFL, but WWE lost, the wrestling world lost Sid Vicious, Psycho Sid, how are you going to call him? Age of 63, battling cancer, just passed away. Two-time WWE champ, two-time WCW champion. Not in the Hall of Fame yet. I told you, for some reason, it passed my memory that he was originally into a little bit of a horseman stable himself, as Sid Vicious.
I find that issue of WCW Pro. They used to have a magazine. But I find it where he's on the front cover with Ric Flair and Barry Windham and Iron Anderson before him and Iron Anderson got into it for real. Nothing like the life of a professional wrestler, man. When I saw Sid Vicious, man, it had to be like, what, 1990 something, 30 freaking years ago, more or so, right?
Yeah.
Very impressive, tall. He had just got called up. In the territories, NWA, WCW territories from Memphis, because he started out with Jerry Lawler. They had him underneath a mask, like a Jason hockey mask. And he came out there all jacked up like Sid was. He's for real 6'8", for real 290 freaking pounds. The backstory around he's not in the Hall of Fame is because him and Vince McMahon really didn't like Sid Vicious, or Sid Beauty, as his real name is, right? He didn't like him, didn't like his attitude. Sid, you know what I'm saying? Sid, you would think Sid, as intense as he looked like, you think he just oozes love wrestling. Man, Sid, like,
his attitude's a little different from Brock Lesnar's.
Yeah, he's different from Brock Lesnar's. Right. So, like, Sid loved softball, professional softball, because he was that too. More than he liked professional wrestling. And, like, man, he would get caught. This is where he got fired from WCW, man. He got caught. He was, like, supposed to be on an injury, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Like, no contact sports because we need you for the pay-per-view. He was supposed to get the title over Vader, and they caught him playing softball down in, you know what I'm saying, somewhere in Arkansas somewhere. They said they fired him. That's why he ended up over going to WWE. But he's an instant-matic draw. That's why you couldn't. Brandon, the first time, like, you can't take the eyes off of him, man. He watered himself down in baby oil and water. Maybe that's why Triple H don't like him, because Triple H sold his gimmick. I don't know. But man, Sid was very impressive. I liked him, man. I did. Regardless of his, you know what I'm saying, passion or whatnot, people, you know what I'm saying, some of the boys, you know what I'm saying, as they call him, they questioned his passion during that time. And, you know what I'm saying, and his ability or inability as a big guy. He wasn't, you know what I'm saying, like The Undertaker. And it wasn't necessarily like Sting,
but he got in there, the eyes, the music,
and then he just looks like, man, ain't nobody running up to Sid unless you that big yourself, you know what I'm saying? But like, no, I enjoy watching Sid Vicious. I enjoy him jumping back and forth. He was Shawn Michaels' bodyguard when he came back to WWE, and then I feel like in the Raw, after the pay-per-view, that was the way to turn Shawn heel, and then however it was, that's how he got the title. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but deep like, breath. No, man, Sid,
deep breath. Sid was great. Sid was an instant draw. That's why, however you felt about him, you had to put him over. You know what I'm saying? Because he looked like money. And people believed in it, man. When he came in and said justice, I was like, oh, God. I had, because before that, you had always seen him see it as a heel. And that's
right.
What happens when he was doing the curve at the back. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I was listening to an interview he did today, and it was about him leaving WWE in 92. And he left. Obviously, they did the Royal Rumble where he dumped over Hogan, and then Hogan pulled him out. And then he did the run-in for the Survivor, or the WrestleMania. Well, apparently Hogan was butthurt about being booed at Royal Rumble and being cheered when he got thrown out of the Rumble, and Sid was the one that did it. And he started crying in the back, allegedly. And Sid's like, I can't deal with this. Like, there's too many politics, and I got Hulk Hogan crying here like this. So he bounced after WrestleMania. Ben said, Statomania, then you can go back. My memories of Sid, I was at that WrestleMania 8, when he did fight Hogan there, and Papa Shango missed his cue to come out to the ring, and that was the craziness there for that. I was there in 1999, 2000, at WCW pay-per-view, where Sid went to take a boot from the top rope and snapped his leg. That was nuts, seeing him do that.
Right,
I love
right.
Moments where, like, Sid's comment. Sid could do a promo, not the greatest, but he could do a promo and be happy, soul thing, you know, talking, and then all of a sudden just turn that quick to, like, the beady eyes, the slow whisper ruler of
right.
The world he talk, and calling me Gene Oakland, the bald-headed little whatever you want to call him. And then the WCW one that's always the classic, where he says, I got half the brain that you think that I have, and it's just muffled
hey,
up.
Man, it ain't bad as Scott Steiner, but yeah,
no.
he got some that are not so good. That's why they usually try to have him with a mouthpiece like a Colonel Robert Parker.
It sucks. He had cancer. He was doing bad. He just talked about a couple months ago about wanting to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
He didn't have much time left, and hopefully WWE does it right here next year.
Right, because I hate it because. Whatever happened between him and Arn and Ric Flair or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Most of those guys still, when it comes time to come out there and talk about, they usually have a good story to share. I hate it because, just like Randy Savage, somebody, you can't write the story of 90s and eight and late 80s and 2000s wrestling without Sid Justice. You have to mention him. You know what I mean?
What?
I mean, I told you in his prime, man, if you book it, I'm not saying now Brock Lesnar for real beat up Sid Vicious, but think about that match. Then you know what I'm saying? It was like in the prime. Like,
that was his dream match. In the interview he did a few months ago, was his dream match would have been in prime, would have been against Brock Lesnar or a Braun Strowman.
It would just be like a bunch of big dudes. I mean, usually a big match is like, you know, that punch, 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 leg drop or whatever, body slam. But, man, it would be intense, man. Sid Vicious looked like money, man. Like I said, he's going to be missed for sure. I'm just sad because, like, he don't get up there and kind of tell his own story. You know what I'm saying? About how whoever put – because at some point somebody put him over or somebody helped him out. It's like, you know, it's kind of – so he's going to be missed, man. R.I.P. Sid Vicious. Rules the world.
100%. Back to the NFL, John. We got Malik Willis got traded to the Packers from the Titans. That era is over. Packers then put A.J. Dillon to the IR, so Josh Jacobs, you are the main guy now toting the ball out there in Green Bay land. So you were talking about the North a little bit.
Now, like I said, man, Green Bay – They were what? One play away, you know what I'm saying? From potentially upsetting Kansas City Chiefs. They probably feel just as confident as anybody, you know what I'm saying, as far as winning over. And they resigned up their quarterback. So there you go. Their biggest thing, you know what I'm saying, can they get that run game going back again?
Yeah, looking ahead of week one, John, some of the games we have next week, and we'll go more NFL a little bit next week as well, but Thursday night, I'm on the wrong week. Thursday, we got Chiefs and Ravens on Thursday night football. We got a Friday night game in Mexico, John, Eagles, Packers on Friday night. And then Sunday, we've got games. We've got Steelers, Falcons, Cardinals, Bills, Bears, Titans, Bengals, Patriots, Colts, Texans, Dolphins, Jags, Saints, and Panthers, Vikings, and Giants. by the way, it's just a hot mess up there in Minnesota. The Raiders and Chargers, Broncos, Seahawks, Browns. This one's going to be a sneaky good one, I think. It's going to be Cowboys and Browns at 425. And then you got Commanders and Bucks, Rams, Lions on Sunday Night Football. Scott K. Nichols got to try to drink that coffee a little bit later on Sunday night or go into the office late on Monday. Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. And then Monday night, you got Rodgers going back out west, going on to take on the 49ers. You think he can play more than four plays?
Oh, man. We're going to see what Aaron Rodgers got, man. Especially after – never mind. I was going to say something about JFK's comments, man, but I'm going to leave that alone, man.
Just, RFK.
RFK, yeah. RFK. JFK is long gone. No, man. You know, opening week in NFL sounds like we got a lot of new quarterback phases, man. That's going to be interesting to see. If your team obviously can, you know what I'm saying, evade the injury bug, you know what I'm saying? Because that always happens, man. Major player ends up getting hurt or whatnot, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about Watt specifically with the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know what I'm saying? Not to call him out, Daniel Jones, you want me to call somebody else, man. Those guys always can be missed, you know what I'm saying, last couple seasons anyway, like the next 4 games. And you know what I'm saying, right now, you want those guys. You want to, you know, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers, if you're even, you know what I'm saying, you want to jump out the gate. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of doubt, you know what I'm saying, or whatnot. But, you know what I'm saying, with so some people are like, nah, man, you want to – first week one, you know, just go, kick them off. I'm ready. I can't wait, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. NFL is going to be great. We'll try to do a little pick 'em with NFL maybe. I do like some spread.
Harbor Air, L.A.? Come on, man.
Yeah, looking at the lines. Chiefs are -3 right now against the Ravens. I think that's – now, if I remember right, last year the Chiefs kind of laid a dud opening night against Detroit. Didn't Detroit beat them last year on opening night, I believe, in Arrowhead? I think they did. Close finish. I can't remember. When was it? 2023. That's what I need. Not. Yeah, Lions won 21-20 on Thursday Night Football last year. Mm-hmm. They spoiled it in the fourth quarter. Yeah, Chiefs, they scored a touchdown with 7 minutes to go, and then there was no more touchdowns. So it's not impossible for the Ravens to win. I think we'll see a little bit of a hybrid there with the –
Hey, man, I got a question.
Yeah.
You're the right person to ask it, man. I was listening to one of them quarterback gurus, man, whatever their little show is, man. They said, this is legit. This is one of the, you know what I'm saying, sponsored, y'all, by the worldwide leader. I'm not going to, you know what I'm saying, give them no crills. But they said Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP, was not in the top five tier quarterback.
Oh, top five tier quarterbacks, huh? Top tier?
Obviously, Patrick Mahomes. That's number one, right?
Yeah. Let me give you your quarterback. My top five.
Technically, Dax is by his, not necessarily by his record, but like by the numbers, man. Technically, Dax is a little bit better than Lamar, so I would kind of have him slotted at five.
Okay. One I have is Mahomes. I got him.
Correct.
Kind of his own, right? I put him in his own little tier. Tier one, Patrick Mahomes. Tier two, I would probably put Lamar Jackson two overall. I mean, he is a two-time MVP, the reigning MVP that I called last year before the season started, won MVP award. Josh Allen, you still got to put him up there, John. I know we're talking quarterbacks. We're not talking the pieces around him. They have depleted a little bit, but I got Josh Allen up there in that tier two. Dak Prescott up there in that tier two. Jalen Hurts in that tier two. And I hate to say it, but he had an injury riddle 2023. But at the bottom end of that, I've got Joe Burrow.
Okay.
The next one I would have probably Justin Herbert, Matt Stafford, maybe Rodgers and C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love.
Well, you forget about the homie down in Atlanta. Who just got to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? I just thought it was kind of like, I was like, man, I couldn't put him in second tier. You know what I'm saying? The Ravens, you know what I'm saying, just need the Ravens need the ball to bounce a couple, you know what I'm saying? And he's going to have to stop coughing up the ball. You know what I'm saying? And big games. That's usually what his issue is, man. You know what I'm saying? A fumble happens, and it's, Lamar. You know what I'm saying? Interception happens, it was Lamar. So that's what they're going to have to get over the hump. You know what I mean? But the tier-wise, I kind of still have him in the top five. I couldn't believe what the worldwide leader, you know what I'm saying? I don't know why people watch this. You know, maybe that's why. It's a shock value take, right? But I still had Lamar in the top five.
Would you take and Nikon, I see your post. We will do picks once I get Tanner. When Tanner calls in here in the next 5 minutes. Anthony Richardson or Trevor Lawrence, if you were to choose between those two?
Right now, I still go with Lawrence, man. I know the turnovers is horrible. I talk about interceptions. I think he had double-digit interceptions last year. And for, you know what I'm saying, they were looking for, you know what I'm saying, he looks the part of a Justin Herbert. He looks the part of a Jordan Love, right? You know what I'm saying? Right. But guess what? He's had a little bit more, and I get it, man. You know what I'm saying? That year with the Urban Meyer, man, you know what I'm saying, set us all back, right? You know what I'm saying? But his durability and availability, you know what I'm saying, kind of didn't come to question. So he's kind of almost, he technically, Brandon, almost trending in that Tua conversation for me. Yeah, you look good when you're out there, but, you know what I'm saying, in these critical games, man, you know what I'm saying, where's he at? Or how does he play? You know what I'm saying? Is the bad tape out there, you know what I'm saying, have they figured you out? So I still would take, you know what I'm saying, Goldilocks over Anthony Richardson, man. Anthony Richardson, you know what I'm saying, again, his same kind of, but his same kind of questions, durability, availability, but we see, you know what I'm saying, we have a whole lot less tape, and, you know what I'm saying, our homie has taken more snaps, and, you know what I'm saying, Brandon, I was quoted on last show, I think the Colts, if they are 100%, right, barring anything major injury happen, you know what I'm saying, whether it's quarterback, running back, you know what I'm saying, those are key offensive pieces for them. And they'll probably do a little bit of running back committee in the first couple of weeks. It's not going to be all JT. It's not going to be Jonathan Taylor, Deshaun Taylor, you know what I'm saying. We're not going to see MVP Jonathan Taylor, you know what I'm saying. He'll play to that level of caliber that he can play, but I don't think we're going to just see him 100% just, you know what I'm saying, 22 carries, you know what I'm saying, week one. You know what I'm saying? So, but like, no, man. And we know that, you know, the coach a little vanilla, but like, I think they'll be able to score the ball, you know what I'm saying, keep up with teams. Will they be able to win games in critical times, you know what I'm saying, critical moments, and they be beat level teams, man? You can't, you know what I'm saying, if you got somebody on your team that's something, you know what I mean, last year, that their expectations to get to the Super Bowl, if not better. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to compete against that team. I think the coach, like I said, Barney Mayer should be able to score with anybody. But can you play, you know what I'm saying, possession football? That remains to be seen.
How far do you trust? How much do you trust? And where would you tier up with Jordan Love?
I don't. What is it? Did he have 8 interceptions last year? I thought, I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, man. I don't know. It's a real quick turnaround, wasn't it? From that small step, was like, you know, say they traded Aaron Rodgers, and then, you know what I'm saying, or he got out, or Aaron Rodgers didn't play the last couple of games or whatever, and it looked real crappy that first, you know what I'm saying, half of the season. With Jordan Love now, after last year, man, I mean, he showed up, I'm gonna hold out. See what they, you know what I'm saying, they got to pay me. So, you know, do I trust him? Absolutely. Do I trust him? Yeah. But I'm getting my computer set up right now. If he had less than 8 interceptions, man, if he can prove on that, man, shoot, they will be in the Super Bowl.
Right. Jordan Love last year. Let's see what he did. Stats for last year. Jordan Love was 4,100 yards passing, 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
Yeah, you're going to have to get that in the single digits, man. To get taken seriously, like C.J. Stroud, maybe that's the kid. He had, I think he had 5 interceptions, the 22 touchdowns, something crazy like that. That's the kind of world, you know what I'm saying, you want to be living in. not where you turn over, you know what I'm saying, give the ball to the team, the other team.
How many rushes Indianapolis Colts, for them to be successful this year, how many rushes does Jonathan Taylor need to have per game?
You talking about like yards per carry?
Yeah, not maybe yards per carry, but maybe how many carries? I think he's got to have around 18.
He's
toting a rock 18 per game. I think they got a good shot.
That keeps me, like I said, under 22. Then I'm fine with that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They paid him like a top. They paid him like a playmaker. He's got to be out there and making plays.
Now, I was concerned with Anthony Richardson in the game 3. Yeah, he looked like he had a good drive there against the backups for Cincinnati. But there was an opportunity where he should have slid, and he didn't. Johnny went head first instead of feet first again. So that's got to make Colts fans a little bit crazy
right,
as we go into the season. Because here's the thing, Colts fans, your season is going to be I'm not going to say decided, but damn near decided the first 6 weeks of the year. You play all three of your division opponents 3 of the 6 weeks. So at that point, hopefully you've got something to figure it out. And John, when I did this, I said it would be a tough start for him. Houston, at Green Bay, home against the Bears, home against the Steelers, at Jacksonville, at Tennessee, and then home against the Dolphins, back to at Houston again. So it's not the greatest schedule, but if they can get, you got to at least win 2 of the 3 against the division, I feel like, to start out, to get yourself rolling, because then you play the other two late in the year,
right?
Tennessee on the 22nd December, but then the last game of the season against Jacksonville at home. So got to do that. Let's see here, what other news and notes we have. Hey, man, let's talk real quick. Florida State, Georgia Tech, man. Florida State just crapped the bed, John. Did not come out to produce. I watched their offense. I was like, all right, we got some trick plays here. They're kind of doing it. They're slinging it. And then Georgia Tech came down and said, we're going to do it ourselves. I was very shocked, and I shouldn't have been, what we got from Georgia Tech, because Florida State did lose a lot, and they got DJ coughing up Uiagalelei.
Hey, man, they looked like Clemson on the first drive. You know what I'm saying? When he was playing at Clemson, man. Offensive line did not hold up second and third or northern fourth quarter. That defense kind of got back into it. And you get a great field goal win. That's why I hate when, you know, since sports announcers be talking about kickers and punters and field goal kickers, you know what I'm saying, our football players, man. Shoot, they won that game for you know what I'm saying, for Georgia Tech. You know what I'm saying? This past Saturday. Just because, Brandon, like, you know what I'm saying, just because you have to remember, man, just because you pull some portal guys and you got Georgia's talent over there, you know what I'm saying, they have to gel with your programming and not necessarily just be free agents and not necessarily be names that just transfer over because, you know what I'm saying, there's a reason why Georgia was probably okay with them leaving, too. You know what I'm saying? It's not all disciplinary. You know what I'm saying? It's not all about attitude either. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes Georgia, guess what? The rookie that's coming in or the freshman's coming in was probably just a little better. Or the portal guy we got is probably a little bit better than you. You know what I'm saying? So there was that kind of play out for them too. So, you know, in a close game, Florida State is susceptible. That's why, Brandon, I don't have them in the playoff, man. I'm sorry. I think they'll bounce back. All right, here's the spoiler. I think they'll bounce back against Boston College this weekend. But now that Clemson game looks mighty large, right?
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? They can't look over, you know what I'm saying, because I think they're still like 2 more weeks
There's
away
a chance
or whatever.
That the top 3 teams in the ACC can all start out with losses this week.
It's possible. It's very possible, Brandon. You're not just spoil the pickle, man, with Georgia and Clemson. But, yeah, it's very possible, very possible.
Now, the next one I'm going to let you get up on your soapbox about because I wanted to save it to tonight.
Here we go.
Guys are idiots. In 3 Foolish Men, I put you right in that category.
So this is the foolishness. Jonathan Birdsong's soapbox foolishness. Your topic tonight, John, is UConn to the Big 12.
Man, they've been baking this cake. Brandon Reese, Crossroads Sports, listening to the audience, they've been baking this cake since I heard it last year during March Madness, man. And it was kind of backstory. Nobody kind of took it serious, man, because, during March, man, everybody's, trying to make the tournament. You know, hell, Danny Hurley had the freaking Lakers in his back pocket, too. You know what I'm saying? Surprise, surprise. So when you talk about, conference alignment, nobody was thinking about basketball. But no, man, the commissioner of the Big 12, bigger than what everybody considers the Big 12 to be. We all consider the Big 12 to be kind of like a Midwestern, centered oriented team, the Arizona's of the world, Utah's, of the world now, since they shifted over from the Pac-12. But the football money is one thing. And right now, the scope of that league, Deion's, he's a superstar, but like, how long is he going to stay? Right now, man, he ain't necessarily turning Colorado into the next, powerhouse. It doesn't sound like. There's a lot of trepidation going on right there. It remains to be seen, right? But, like, they don't really have Texas, a sustainable power, a name. They ain't got nobody like that SEC does. Texas, they can roll out. If Texas has a bad year, Georgia's okay. Alabama's okay. And the conference is okay, right? We all know this. Hell, Florida State, who we were talking about in the last segment, hell, they still suing the ACC. And they ought to be ashamed because you're suing the ACC to go to where? You know what I'm saying? You go to ACC.
Right.
You try to leave the ACC to go to where? You know what I'm saying? But, like, no, man. So the Big 12 has to think, okay, well, we can't. We just lost Oklahoma and Texas. I think in years to come, some of those schools – it might even be more that, Texas and A&M, they might not like the politics of Texas. They left the Big 12 because of Texas, if anybody remembers.
Colorado.
I do. Right. So I say all that to say this, man. They have to think a little bit. They're thinking aggressively. Do I think it will happen? It's probably right now, because now it's on, now it's hitting the mainstream media. As there's been more talk. And kind of what that looked like, because imagine Brandon, he's probably going to try to get Gonzaga too, right? Not necessarily for football, because I don't think UConn, I think the initial offer was, if UConn does come to Big 12, they won't be beholden to play football in the Big 12.
Yeah, they got to work their way into it over the next like 7-8 years.
Right, so they got to improve, they got to improve their football program. But like, no, man, you can imagine UConn and Arizona jumping them up on basketball tip, or UConn and, I can't necessarily, Brandon, you can't sell me UConn and Utah on Saturday morning. You can't sell, not, you can't sell me UConn and, I'm trying to think who else out there in the Pac-12, maybe Baylor. Those are good basketball
BYU.
Programs. Would they be good basketball games? Sure. But, like, it's not college basketball. College basketball is their natural rival. Their natural rival is playing Georgetown twice, even though they blow the ball out of Georgetown. The natural rival is playing, basically East Coast teams for the most part. And then you tip, during your preseason, you tip out there and say, oh, man, we're going to draw them up in the Malibu Classic or whatever, the Indy Classic or whatever. We're going to play a Purdue. We're going to play a Arizona or whatever. Not we're just going to go play in the Midwest. Go ahead. I don't like it at all.
I'm going to ask you, what's your thoughts on Deion deciding to do some bans for some reporters, not allowed to cover the team?
That's not cool at all, man. Like, you can't control it. I mean, not to be super political, politicians try to do the same thing and not allow certain, credible media sources to, like, ask them certain questions, man. Well, you can't – that's like control of the media, which, that's totally like, dipping into Nazism, to be honest with you. So I'm not saying what Deion is doing is Nazism. I'm not saying what Deion is doing is Nazism. What he's trying to do is throw. And, like, these dudes, they didn't – I mean, if they said a sour word to you about your program, prove them – like, I thought the goal was to prove them wrong, not I'm going to have you shut up. You know what I mean? Because I don't want you asking me questions.
Write the censor.
Oh, Lord.
Uh, John, I talked to you some of my sleepers this year, college football-wise. I've got Nebraska. I think Nebraska could easily start out 6-0, 7-0 before they play Ohio State. I don't think that's outside the realm. Rutgers was another team, John, that I think can sit there and make some noise. They have a great schedule
this year.
I'm pretty happy with what they've got coming in. Shiano and them, they've got Howard, Akron, Vatek, Washington, Nebraska, Wisconsin, UCLA, USC. You're missing the Penn States, the Michigans, the Ohio States of the world, Oregon.
Good luck,
man. Like all those big ones. That's why I kind of like what Rutgers can do. Hey, first game of the year, tickets as low as $5 for them right now. So get your, get your tickets there. Before Tanner calls in, he's running a little late. A dinner went a little late, but he did text me. He's running late, but he'll be on. Oh, let's go talk a team we haven't really talked about. Let's cover our three Indiana school or four Indiana schools here. Let's start with Ball State, our alma mater, Ball State Cardinals, John. Kind of a showing year. You got to show up, Mike New, this year with the team, and they've got Missouri State. First game of the year at 2:00, then they go down to Miami, take on the U. I'm not sure what to expect from this Ball State team this year.
No, I kind of follow. Obviously, I follow Ball State sports on all my social medias, man. Guys are hitting the gym hard. Not saying nobody else is hitting the gym. Guys are hitting the gym hard. I think if you look at the preseason, Mac. I think it had Ball State like closer towards 13.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The 13th school or whatnot. And that's from what I've seen, man. So again, the names right now on the back of the jersey kind of escaped me, man. I think Ball State is more solid than 13th in the MAC. I don't think some of the scouts and these analysts understand that, man. Some of the top teams that lost, that won last year, the Toledo's of the world, or in the Kent face of the world, those teams that be at the top of the MAC, they lost some of their talent either through the draft or through the portal.
Right.
So Ball State had a lot of guys. If you're recruited by Ball State, you really wanted to go to Ball State, and they really wanted you to be there, man. And they have a lot of guys, not necessarily a whole lot of poor guys. There's a few transfers, they kind of rounded up to Ball State. They can survive. To be honest with you, that's a challenge kind of game, man. You can't shun away from Missouri State on the road. You can survive that game, and I know it's a money game for the U. The second week, they come out 1-1. I think they'll get some ears perked up. I think from what I've saw, out of them, and then they're not necessarily super talented, super special at quarterback. They're not necessarily super talented, super special. At running back or anything like that. But the core of their team is going to be built on running. And if they can provide holes, for the running backs to go through, and then the defense, their starting defense is a bunch of, all MAC guys or projected all MAC guys. So again, man, the Ball State, I think Coach New is cool, man. We speculated early on in the springtime, when that first MAC poll came out there, he was probably – that he this might be his last year. I think, he's got some new faces on that coach staff as well, man. I think Ball State is going to be fine, man. The expectation is if you tell me the expectation is 13, I think they finish way better than that. And I think they might potentially have another MAC, if they can, get that, learn something from playing the U. And again, the U is bought and paid for, y'all. They got pro players, that's basically sitting one more year, so they wait just for the NFL call their name. But – survive the first two games and get into MAC play, I think Ball State has a quality season.
That's Jonathan Birdsong's long-winded answer that I needed just a minute and a half on. So thank you, JB, for that. So we'll see what happens. I've had him beat up waiting for you to finish your long rambling sentence about Ball State football.
Did you want me to talk about Indiana State football? No,
we're going to talk about them here shortly, but
Purdue either.
We can't start pick 'em, college pick 'em before we bring on.
It's so hard for me to sit back here in this studio looking at a guy out here hollering my name when last year I spent more money on spilt liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
And the guy that's going to make you that money, our betting guy, college football, Tanner Penrod. What's up, T?
Well, what's going on, fellas? Sorry, I was out of dinner for work. It ran a little long. Sorry about that. I'm good.
I was making sure you weren't going to be, you know, I personally taking dinner over to the Dockage household. I was making sure it wasn't
Nah, that's late in the season. Maybe Urban will be back over there. But I heard Jonathan's long-winded on Ball State football. There's one answer to that, and they're dog shit. And this, if Mike New doesn't turn around, this is his last year. They're going to be lucky to go 5-7.
You hear that, JB?
No.
Yeah.
He's got that carry.
You can keep.
Got that carry from last year, man. This ain't last year's team.
His ship sailed at Ball State. Bye-bye.
Well, fellas, another great college pick'em ahead of us here. Last year, let's see. Well, 2 years ago, I won the ship. Last year, Tanner, you took the title, 86-59. I was 77-68, and Jonathan was 74-71. But props to everybody. Everybody finished above 500, so we'll give props for that.
Yep.
Now, to the bad news. We were all on Florida State last week, the cover against Georgia Tech.
Boom.
And that was a failure. Giant failure. Even though I was going to change mine, you were going to change yours, Tanner. We did not.
Yep.
And we shit the bed.
I literally told people to change. I was getting texts 11 in the morning. They said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm betting pick-a-bling. I took Florida State. But if you're trying to win money, I'd probably take Georgia Tech. And they all took Georgia Tech and they won money and I lost the pick.
Right? Oh,
yeah.
Unbelievable the way that way that transpired. All right, boys, let's dive right in. Week one, let me take the banner off because right now you can't see it. There we go on the Facebook live stream and YouTube. First game, and these are odds as of yesterday, so we're not going to change them as in. As you're locked in, I don't know why I'm getting a 60-second countdown on my radio thing. We got another hour. I have an hour's worth of time.
Come on, dude.
North Carolina, -2 at Minnesota, row the boat. Jonathan, we're going to let you – actually, Tanner, you are the champion this past year. You're going to kick us off. North Carolina, -2 against Minnesota.
I'm going to make it short. I'm going to row that boat. I'm going to take Minnesota. UNC's got that a new quarterback. I'm just a fan of when the quarterbacks come back, they got a little bit more expertise under them. North Carolina, if they win this game, they have a really chance to start their season about 7-0, which would be huge for Mac Brown. But I think a home team getting points this early on, I think Coach Fleck, BJ, he needs to win. This would be a good chance for him to win. A lot of new players going into North Carolina. I was watching their portal. And it's been a lot of new in and out people, so I'm just going to make it short and sweet. Give me the Gophers catching two at home.
Okay. I'm going to take Minnesota as well, guys. I know UNC has a whole different team now. They don't have Drake May at North Carolina like they did last year. But they were better last year with Drake May than they are this year, I feel. North Carolina has failed to cover their last four games. That being said, it's the first home game of the year and season for Minnesota. Row the boat. P.J. Fleck's got to have a good year or he's going to be on that hot seat. So give me Minnesota rowing the boat.
Man, just make it a clean sweep, man. Do you know the Tar Heels haven't won a home opener since 1985 on the road since 1985?
Michael
Jordan.
You know
what I'm saying? So again, man, y'all know this is a pro-Duke program. You know what I'm saying? Even on the football side, man, I'm taking Minnesota. You know what I'm saying? UNC will probably bounce back during ACC play at some point. But as far as, you know what I'm saying, opening up on the road against a Big Ten team, with, you know, with a little bit more aspirations of being somebody, you know what I'm saying, doormat along with the Gophers.
Broncos country, let's ride.
All right, we're all riding on the Golden Gophers for week one. Next one, boys, Indiana State, the Sycamores, they are traveling up I-70 to 65 North to take on the Boilermakers. Purdue, the schedule looks like a gauntlet and looks like hell. Purdue minus 32.5 against Indiana State. I'll go first on this. I'm going to take Indiana State plus 32.5. Purdue has failed,
wow,
guys, to cover five of their last six games against non-conference schools. They struggled last year against their season opener and just squeaked one away. So this year, I think Purdue wins the game. I think Indiana State covers 32.5. I think it's just too much. Jonathan.
Jonathan. Yeah, I was gonna say,
dude, that's a big one, man. That's a big bearable bear, man. 32?
32.5.
I think Purdue wins the game, man.
Fighting Zion.
I'm with the fight. Yeah, my daughter goes to Fighting Sycamores, man. Give me Purdue, man. I think they this is a year that they gotta, I get it, when they get into Big Ten play and all that, you know what I'm saying, that's another thing. They got to make sure they can keep up with teams. But they got to show that they can beat – Indiana State still talking about basketball, y'all. That's what they care about, man. So, you know what I'm saying, it was questionable if they were going to have a football team this year. If you went to Indiana State, God bless you to play football. You know what I'm saying? Man, I think Purdue, they crush them, man. They're going to show them what a Big Ten team is about.
All right, Tanner.
I think I'm going to roll with Jonathan, too. Purdue. Indiana State is bad. They're coming off a 1-10 season.
Well, you see what Purdue's coming off of?
I don't care what they're coming off of. 1-10 is bad. Only thing worse than that's Ball State in about 2000 when they went 0-11. So,
damn.
So, and I like Hudson Card. I think he's going to be good this year for Purdue.
I do too.
I don't even like.
Yeah, anybody to throw to Tanner? The top three wide receivers all transferred out.
That's fine. You could probably throw to Pac-Man Jones at this rate. They're gonna beat them. I think Purdue actually beats them. And here's the thing, you know me and Purdue. If they don't cover this week, it might be a long season of me fading Purdue.
Right? I mean, the clear-cut number one receiver, Deion Burks, transferred to Oklahoma. The captain, T.J. Sheffield, he went to UConn. And the third target, Raheem Mostert with the South Florida. When you got guys transferring out of the Big Ten to go to UConn for football, John,
hold on,
talking about it.
They got some portal guys. They got a couple of Georgia guys.
I mean, do you know these two teams played in 2022 and Purdue beat them 56-0?
I do. Jonathan Bursaw, I think, was at that game for Crossroads.
I left early. We was on recruiting.
Yeah.
Before
I
did, man.
I'm going with Purdue. That's my one thing. I'm taking Purdue this week.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm taking
them. Let's get to the meat and potatoes and pick them. Let's get to it, man.
Next game, number 8, Penn State, -8.5 at West Virginia. Boy, this is going to be a nice little rivalry game here. Between these two, I think it's a slobber knocker game, to steal the quote from JR. Jonathan, actually, I think it's my turn to go first on this one. I'm going to take Penn State -8.5, guys. I think they've got to start getting some style wins. I've got them. I think I had them, John. I have to find my document. I think I had them. Yeah, I've got them as the 8 seed in my playoff bracket that I put out a few weeks ago. So they got to start with a win here against West Virginia. The new beefed up Big Ten, they're not going to be the third best team in the league anymore. So they've got to start collecting some of these wins. James Franklin, this is how you kind of start it this year. Drew Adler,
right.
He's going to be coming back another season. So you got to feel like he's got to have with more reps. It's going to be a better operation for him out there. I like Penn State on the road at West Virginia covering the 8.5. Maybe sneaking by 10, last second field goal. You know how Franklin likes to run the score, but if he can, he knows what those spreads are.
I'm going to go keep it short.
Go ahead, John.
I'm going to keep it short this week, man. Give me Penn State. I think his defense turns, they get the ball, two turnovers in this game against West Virginia. Give me Penn State.
Dan?
I think this game. Not so fast, boys.
Uh-oh.
Because if I got any chance of getting on the Pat McAfee show, we're going to have to ride with those Mountaineers in the 8.5.
Oh, wow.
I think it'll be a one-score game throughout the game.
Wow.
West Virginia is going to be a tough place to play. You might even hear Country Roads at the end. And
wow.
A victory. But give me West Virginia in the playoffs.
West Virginia, it is. Tanner, on your betting card this weekend, will you go a little money line? Sprinkle a little money line?
Yeah, I could see that coming into play.
Plus 245. Plus 245.
All right, that's worth a little sprinkle.
DK's actually brought it down to 8 now. It was 8.5. It's down to 8.
That means that line's going to go below 8 before that game, and that's what I like. That means sharp money's coming probably in on my side, so I'm going to take it.
Yeah, I might have to fucking put some money on the 8 myself before it gets down to 7. If that's the case. Hey, just in case, you never know, right?
Yep.
The big boy, one of the big boys, number 14, Clemson. Versus number 1, Georgia in Atlanta, minus 13.5. Tanner, you got us.
I'm just going to roll with, I'll make it short. You got Beck coming back, Heisman favorite for Georgia. I know they're down to like one running back or two. Georgia's lost like two running backs in preseason that were supposed to be good. I still see Clemson have – there's nobody on Clemson right now that I'm scared of if I'm Georgia. That's going to – that I'm like, ooh, we got this guy, we got to stop him or he's going to kill us. So I think Georgia's got a little chip on their shoulder too, didn't make the playoffs. So I'm going to take Georgia. It's close enough to a home game for them. I know it's on a neutral site. Whatever that Pat McAfee song he sings about all those drunk objects Georgia fans.
Yeah. Back down the track. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it simple, fellas. Georgia comes in pissed off. They didn't make the college football playoff last year. They should have. They got robbed. Clemson is a disaster right now. They don't know how to use the transfer portal. They're dead last in transfer portal, just above Ball State for their transfer portal rankings. Dabo's got to develop. He's not developed. This team looks like dog water. I think Georgia, if there's anybody that knows how to drag race up and down a field like they do on the roads, it's Georgia, obviously, with their offensive linemen that like to race cars and get in trouble and crash them and all that. So Clemson's failed, guys, to cover their last four games against the SEC on neutral fields. But that being said, give me Georgia minus the 13.5. Clemson ain't covering this. It's in the fact. JB.
Give me Dabo Swinney and Klubnik to cover. There you go.
Wow. That is a wow.
You better hope Clemson plays good defense because they're not scoring more than about 15 points in this game.
Yeah, I don't think JB, though, is a believer in Carson Beck for some reason. So I don't think he is.
That dude's the Heisman favorite.
Yeah, I bet you don't win it.
He probably won't.
He shouldn't. Next, Florida International comes to Bloomington to take on Kurt Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers. Hoosiers minus 21. JB, you get to tee us off.
Start the Scagnetti era, man. Give me the Hoosiers.
Give me the Hoosiers. Give me Indiana. Fellas, Indiana has covered the spread in their last five season openers. I'm going to look to make it six. Hoosiers cover the 21. Easy, easy.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah. I think we got Hoosiers are going to need this. I think they need to get off on the right foot, and a big win would help them in a lot of ways. They've covered the spread in each of its last five home openers.
Do you not just hear me say that?
And Florida International has failed to cover six of their last eight. And Florida International not coming in real hot. They've lost seven of their last eight games. So with that being said, I think a new era is starting. I think they would like to get a little out to the boat races and get a good big victory. I think this might be a good chance for them to do that. So I'll take the Hoosiers. We'll make it easy.
They got the Pitbull Arena Stadium down there now sponsoring it for Florida International. That's about as good as it's going to get this year for them down there. So we're all on the Hoosiers there. I like it. Next one, number 19, Miami, -2.5 at Florida. I'll go first on this one. Fellas, I think it's pretty simple here. John, I've got in my bracket, I had Miami winning the ACC this year. I think they cover this in Gainesville easily. 2.5 is within that number of three. I would take that. Give me Miami. Boys, if there's a prop bet on first college coach fired, I think Billy Napier, I've said it for 2 years now, and the bastard still hasn't fired. This has to be it, where they fire Billy Napier this year. Florida's schedule, they may not win more than four games. All right? You can clip it. You can tag them. I don't give a shit. Billy Napier will be fired. Florida won't win more than four or five games this season. Book it. Give me Miami. They're going to win the ACC. They're going to go to the college football playoff. Give me Miami. Tanner.
I'll snap call you. I like Cam Ward. They got a great transfer from Washington State. They're playing quarterback. Ward's going to be flipping it around. He's going to be a Heisman candidate. That dude's great. I just think the Swamp, don't get me wrong, probably when it's rocking, top five place, hardest place to play. But when the fans probably aren't into it, I know it's a big-time rivalry game to start week one, but just being the short favorite in there, if it was over three, start getting there, I might get worried. But if it's since it's under a field goal, we'll make it easy. Give me the U and the Hurricanes. I think Cam Ward's going to need a statement win if he's going in there. And Miami, like Brandon said, they're going to win that ACC, they need to start it right here and get off on the right foot, even though it's a non-conference game.
John.
Man, scary, man. Tim Tebow, I need to go on Tim Tebow's Twitter, see if he's going to be at the game, man. Because if Tebow's going to be at the game, you know that's the difference maker. You know that's right.
You can have Oracle. You can have Grossman. You can have Chris Lee.
You know who's gonna,
you can bring all of them.
You know who's gonna be. You know who's gonna be there? Aaron Hernandez in the crowd in the hip.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Slow down, man. No, man. give me Miami. Tim Tebow might be the next head coach of Florida Gators sometime next year, man.
Are you throwing the U up?
No, not at all. Not at all, but like no, man. Give me Miami in this game. If it gets ugly, then Napier won't make the rest of the season. But I don't think it gets ugly. But I'm taking Miami.
Okay. Next one, Fresno State at your defending champion, number 9, Michigan. Michigan 21.5 point favorites against Fresno. All the crap that happened last year, all the stuff that Michigan has lost. Sharon Collins is now the – or Sharon Williams? Williams or Collins? Sharon something is the head coach.
Sharon Moore.
I didn't get the damn thing right the third second time. Moore,
man.
Head coach. If he cries after this win, I think we got to get the head checked. We got to get it checked.
Nah.
I think Michigan covers this one. Connor Stallions back on the sidelines. I just watched the doc last night. Wild.
Yeah,
wild documentary.
But, how was that?
It was good. Complete. I mean, he's a liar. Absolutely 100% liar. Jim Harbaugh is a liar. Jim Harbaugh kind of threw him his ass under the bus, as we all know, and then skipped town. Yeah, you kind of feel for the man because the dude loves Michigan football. He would do anything for Michigan football, and Michigan just kind of, like, used him and, like, threw him away. So.
Kind of like Tim Daly.
Man, I don't even want to. Can we just take the under? Because I feel like that's what's going to be the best play in this game. I swear. I think it's like 47. It started at 20 and it's gone up.
It has gone up because of the name, I feel. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know. I hate taking this. I'll take Michigan just out of spite. I don't know enough about Fresno State, and I probably should have done a little bit more. I mean, that's on me, but I think maybe Sherrone Moore wants to say, hey, even though we've cheated or whatever they want to say they didn't do, he's going to try to get his team off on the right foot. They've lost. They lost a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
But
he deleted a lot of text messages, too.
Yeah, that's true. So they've lost a lot. So I'm just going to go with Michigan. I think that crowd will be in the hope. That's what they're going to need. They're going to need the crowd to get into it. So I don't like the 21 and a hook. I wish it was just 21 and be happy maybe with the push. But
right.
I'll take Michigan, and it's probably going to be an L on my stat sheet, but I'll take Michigan.
Jonathan.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, man. They lost it. Star running back, lost the star quarterback, you know what I'm saying, lost the play, you know what I'm saying.
Still got Donovan Edwards there. He's still there. They lost Corum, but they got Edwards still.
They lost Corum, right. Lost the leadership, and it's kind of like a new era. They pretty good, you know what I'm saying, with the stars and recruiting and all that. So what came back in, you know what I'm saying, is rejuvenated, you know what I'm saying. Man, against Fresno State, a home opener, man, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be too much blue and gold, man. Give me this one.
Okay. Probably the primetime game that everybody's going to be wanting to watch. Number 7, Notre Dame at number 20, Texas A&M. Texas A&M right now, guys, 3-point favorites. Jonathan, we'll let you start it.
Ooh, man, how can I go against Notre Dame, man? Give me the Irish.
Okay.
How can I go against?
The big quick call there. Jonathan, or Tanner, excuse me.
Yeah. Man, who's the... I'm terrible. Who did A&M hire when they – did they hire an interim guy or who did they get?
They hired the guy from Duke. Elko.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Elko, that's right.
They brought the quarterback, too, didn't they? Or he's playing his old quarterback.
He's playing his old quarterback, so he's going to have a little insight on him. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I think I'm going to go A&M. That place is going to be hard to play in. 12th man, 110,000 people rocking in there. I'll be happy if Notre Dame wins that game. But as a betting-wise, I don't want anything to do with it, but I'm going to take A&M. Give me A&M. That's going to be a hard game for Notre Dame. Notre Dame wants to make any noise in the playoffs. They need this game, but when you do those games on the first week without having another game under your belt, you have rust to shake. You don't have any rust. You can't shake off anything because you didn't have another game to prepare for. You throw you right in the wolves. It's going to be a tough game. I'll give you the Aggies.
Aggies have failed to cover 7 of their last 8 games going back to last year, but that was a different regime and a whole different program. I want to take Notre Dame here. I do, just because I'm getting plus
points. Yep.
And you got Notre Dame, and it's A&M. It's not the old A&M, but that's a tough son of a bitch to play at Kyle Field. But I wonder. I don't know enough about this Notre Dame team. They've lost. They lost. Obviously, they lost Hartman. They got Riley Leonard in. They lost Estime, their top running back.
Yep.
Are they overrated? Is Notre Dame overrated this year? And they're going to get into the playoff based off a easy, soft ass schedule. There's a very good chance. Looking at their schedule, they could easily. It doesn't mean they're great. They're a great team if they make the playoffs. I think they're going to get on a name recognition and an easy schedule. I think that's why they get in. Sorry, a lot of Notre Dame fans, Tanner. But I go back and forth with this, and I think if you got to be Notre Dame, if this is going to be the season you want to try and make some noise in the playoffs and you want to get that spot, you got to have your head on straight from week one, and that's the type of season you're going to have. So I'm going to take the Irish with the points here. I don't feel great about it, but I'm going to take them plus the three. So that's Saturday night, 7:30.
I'll let you know if my heart gets heavier than my head, and I switch my pick on this one.
Okay. Number 13, LSU, minus 4 at number 23, USC. I like USC plus the 4 here. For some weird-ass reason,
I do. I'll snap call you. Me too. I think no neighbors, no Jaden Daniels. Lincoln Riley's got to have a good year. He had that down year without – they were supposed to be really good with Caleb Williams last
it's
year.
It's not at USC. It's a neutral field game, Dallas, but –
I like USC in the 4 there. I do. I think he's got more out of it. I think he's got more pressure on him than Brian Kelly does.
Yeah.
That Lincoln Riley does. So I like USC. I'll snap call you real quick. I like USC plus 4.
Okay. John?
Give me LSU, man. LSU got a couple hogs on that offensive line. You know what I'm saying?
He loves Brian Kelly.
Oh, yeah. He's a big Brian Kelly stan.
They're going to control.
Dude, he loves Brian. I mean, I
he always big Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly.
This is how the game goes. They're going to control the line of scrimmage, time of clock, all those things. You know what I'm saying? USC, it might at some point this season score over 20-something points, man. If you go back and look at some of their pivotal games, man, the hell, did they lose to Utah last year? And I know this is a new year. You know what I mean?
Utah's going to be real
good. I'm not
talking.
They're
going to win the Big 12.
Yeah. Brandon believes they're going to win the Big 12, man.
I'm with Brandon on that.
I think at some point, you know what I'm saying, the offense kind of picks up for USC. I think LSU wins this game. Time of possession kind of game.
Yeah, John laughed when I said on our preview show that I thought I have Utah winning the Big 12, so he laughed at me. He said there's too many other heavy hitters in there. But we got a ninth-year starting quarterback. Come on now. It's
Prime win the Big 12. Prime.
Oh, God. Last game, guys.
They might barely go 6-6.
Right.
Boston College at Florida State. Florida State, 17-point favorites after disaster last week.
I'll snap call. Give me Boston College.
Fucking
DJ ukulele is what I'm going to call his bitch ass. He's terrible. He's never been good.
Man.
He sucked.
Nah,
Florida State
this
was
bad.
Awful.
Damn.
Boston College loves just wrecking on people. I'm telling you. The line probably would be more if Florida State would have won. They probably suckered this line down because Florida State lost last week. I bet you if you would have got a line before they played – last week, I bet you this game was in the 20s. Guaranteed.
Mm.
I still like Boston College. Give me Boston College.
All right.
All day long.
John, you're up.
Man, like I said, there's a lot of bad tape on DJ Uiagalelei, or however you pronounce the last name. I do apologize. You know what I'm saying? That's why he's not an NFL pro, right? The offensive line looked bad in the second half of that ball game. I think they bounce back against Boston College. I know Tanner just lifted them a new one, but I think they bounce back against Boston College, so give me Florida State.
Guys, Boston College went out this past offseason. They hired themselves a new coach. They went out and got themselves NFL caliber. They got from the Belichick coaching tree. They got Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien's the head coach out there at Boston College. People seem to forget. He brought his brother out there as well. Florida State was in trouble last week against Georgia Tech. I think they kind of right the cobwebs a little bit. I think we're going to hear that war chant all fucking Saturday or Monday, Sunday, whatever this game is, Monday night. We're going to hear it the whole damn time. But I think Boston College covers the 17. I do. Give me BC plus the 17.
Well, that war chant's going to have to go on because the game is going to be one possession game and they're going to have that crowd in there just to will them to a victory.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A couple news and notes.
I do like Renegade. They do have the best opening thing when he spears that thing on that 50 without on that horse. I will give Florida State that in the war chant.
Yeah, 100%.
That's better than any football player they got. And one last note, this is it on Florida State. If Deion has a good season and Florida State sucks, they're going to be making a phone call.
Oh.
Prime time. Might be going to Tallahassee.
Oh, John, you said Dallas.
Cowboys. Yeah.
Nope. Nope. I say Florida State.
Yeah. A couple news and notes, guys. Ole Miss. Tanner, I've been saying Ole Miss, this is Ole Miss this year. They've got the number one transfer portal. They've got a great program. I've got them finishing top three SEC. I've got them as a 7 seed in the college football playoff. I think they're expecting a great, great year down there in Oxford.
Oh, I wouldn't expect anything less from you. It Lane trains like Brian Kelly to Birdsong. You love old Lane Train. But I think Lane Train's done it better. I think you can get a lot with Saban gone. SEC's going to be from anybody's game.
Somebody asked
SEC
me.
SEC West, for sure.
Somebody asked me, would he leave Ole Miss for Florida? I don't know if he would. Would he leave to go to the Gators if it opened up?
That's a different animal.
He didn't even. Well, that was smart not for him to take that Alabama job because I wouldn't have wanted that Alabama job right after Saban. The Alabama job probably wouldn't be as. Now, after this DeBoer dude gets fired, you won't have as much heat on you. That DeBoer, he's got all the pressure in the world on him. That's the worst job to have right now.
Woo.
But, I mean, he held on to a couple things. Didn't he have the Auburn job? He hasn't moved. I think he likes it there in Ole Miss, an old hottie-totty.
Yeah, he's got blonde hair, blue eyes all over campus. I mean.
Yeah, right. I don't see him leaving. If he gets, like you said, if he's got the team in the top 10 and they're making playoffs, I mean, I know that school's probably saying, yeah, we'd like a national championship, but if they're in the playoffs every year, he's got no pressure. He's going to be staying right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Not going anywhere.
Tanner, I said to John, our preview show, that I think Oregon needs just 1 year in the Big Ten, and then next year can be their year. I know a lot of people are hot on them. I have them in the college football playoff going down to the final four teams with them in it, but I think they need one more year, and then Oregon can claim the Big Ten.
Keep going. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
You're going to find a lot out when they play Ohio State. What is that, like week 3 or 4?
Yeah.
If Oregon beats them, watch out. Well, Oregon beats them one, Ryan Day's really going to be on a hot seat.
They beat them last year. Or whatever year that was.
So, yeah. I know what you're talking about. So, I definitely have Oregon in my playoff. I was watching a couple. Some people haven't won it at all. I mean, that Big Ten now is going to be tough. They used to say the SEC was the hardest thing. That Big Ten, by adding those couple Pac-12 teams, they're going to give the SEC a run for their money on how the strength of the conference is.
Yeah. What's your Natty championship game pick?
I think I had maybe Georgia winning it all, beating. I think I had Georgia beating maybe Oregon in the championship. I think's what I had.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And mine, I have. Yeah. I got Ohio State beating Georgia. I have Ohio State's year. They've got grown men there.
Yeah, they do.
This is the year. The offense is just as good as the defense. I love it.
Ryan Day's really on a hot seat. He's really got to get something going.
This is Chip Kelly's year. Right before he – a little dress rehearsal before he takes over. But if they don't win the title, Day's out. That's plain and simple. Plain and simple. They don't win a national title this year. You don't beat Michigan, he's out. So
if he doesn't beat Michigan, he might get canned anyway. If he doesn't beat Michigan, he might get fired.
100%. 100%. So I've got Ohio State over Georgia. John, what is your official pick?
They got to win. Win that championship.
Who do you got there?
And beat Michigan.
Mitt,
you know, is everything going to be okay with Georgia through the course of this season? Is everything going to be okay with Georgia? We ain't got to hold their hands. We don't have to hold their hands. And Kirby Smart, he's not up here whining. I'm glad he's not whining this year, right? But it'd probably be them. It'd probably be Ohio State and Georgia. It'd probably be Ohio State and Georgia. But I don't want him whining this year. Last year he did kind of whine.
You don't want no crying.
While we gotta play, while we gotta play in a daggone ball game, we're a better team because we're playing the SEC. We'll play better every Saturday, and you won't have to play in daggone Peach Bowl. It don't freaking matter.
Yeah.
Whining. So there you go. But he got to play. You know what I'm saying? Ohio State. He kind of, you know, the transfer quarterback from Kansas State, he's already getting on my nerves, agitating me, man. But Ohio State should run through the Big Ten.
Okay. Well, guys, week one's here, college football, pick'em's back. We've got a long ways to go this year with our pick'em. A lot of fun, a lot of craziness going to be said. We've got our picks for national championship. We'll see how close they are. Hopefully we can start out with some winning records. I know week one or week zero was a little rough, but only upward from here. The picks will be posted on the Facebook page. They'll be posted on the Twitter account for this weekend for the games. Tanner, as always, thanks for joining us. We'll get you back next week. We'll recap a little week one talk and go week two.
All right, fellas. Sounds good. Thanks for having me on. Look forward to the season.
All right. See you, Tanner.
Always.
All right,
that's our guy, Tanner Penrod, college football. John, I'll let you wrap it, my man. I don't have anything further.
Man, we had a great show tonight, did we not, man? And we didn't even talk about Anthony Edwards talking crazy. You know what I'm saying?
What's he
saying? Man, he said they could – well, he said it about a week ago, and then now we had all the legends kind of react. He said that he didn't think anybody from that era outside of Michael Jordan could play in this era because the guys are so skilled right now versus back then. And that, of course, you know what I'm saying, went viral or whatever. But, like, not only Matt Johnson kind of tapped into it, but, like, you know what I'm saying, Mitch Richmond, other all-stars, Isaiah Thomas, Kevin Garnett. You know what I'm saying? If you can blur out all the bad words, right, you know what I'm saying? Kevin Garnett kind of broke it down. And, you know what I'm saying, kind of broke it down.
Yeah,
he broke it down saying that this is what the NBA was back then. He broke it down from the science of it. You know what I'm saying? Minus the cuss words. The cuss words is littered. You know what I'm saying? You know how Kevin Garnett is, right? It's just something that Anthony Edwards is going to have to learn how to be better manage his, you know what I'm saying, media tongue, dude. Like, you can't insult a whole era of basketball and think you're going to get away with it. Just want to tap into that, man. I think I'm going to watch a little Mets Red Sox as soon as I get off here if it hasn't already tipped off. You know what I'm saying? Great interaction, man. It's always a pleasure to talk with Tanner. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm probably wrong on half my daggone pickups, but it is what it is, man. I'm a homer when it comes to Ball State football, and I kind of like, you know what I'm saying, with Dabo Sweeney has kind of maintained. I don't necessarily always agree with Dabo, but you know what I'm saying, that's probably why my pick'em rate last year was so poor. Obviously, you know what I'm saying, I was like just three games over 500, right? But like, nah, man. Great interaction tonight, man. Episode 313, pin it. Another classic, y'all. We'll be back bigger, better than ever next week. Thanks to Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. for sponsoring the show. If you for all your insurance needs, man, please call Scott K. Nichols, man. Like I said, he's a great guy. Even though he's razzing us about the Bears, you know, on chat talking about the Bears thing, man. But, hey, man, what would you expect out of a, you know what I'm saying, out of a Detroit Lions fan? So, like, no, man, great interactions. We'll be back next week. Bigger Bear than ever, man. This has been Crossroads Sports. I'm Donald Burson. That's Brandon Reese. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.
Top reasons your career wants you to move to Ohio. So many amazing growth opportunities, high-paying jobs in technology, advanced manufacturing, engineering, life sciences, and more. You'll soar to new heights, just like the Wright brothers, John Glenn, even Neil Armstrong. Their careers all took off in Ohio, and yours can too. A job that can take you further, and a place you can't wait to come home to. Have it all in the heart of it all. Launch your search at callohiohome.com.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.